I've written a lot and had a lot of papers and chapters and things on theological traditionalism. And the reason being is because in the beginning, a lot of people have issues with the idea of things like catechisms and confessions. And the reason that they have issues with those is because they instantly take a lot of ideas and immediately put them into, well, that's Roman Catholic. You're having catechism class, the Roman Catholics do that. Or you have this idea of traditionalism, the Roman Catholics do that, and we don't like that. So in dealing with that particular thing, I have to navigate in various ways with various ideas. This is oversimplified, but I put an infographic out there, Sola Scriptura without Solo Scriptura. And we'll go through what that means. What is Sola Scriptura? What does that mean?
Scripture alone.
Is who?
Scripture alone.
Scripture alone. Okay.
Can bind the conscience.
Scripture alone can bind the conscience. Okay. So it doesn't mean if I said it this way, it does not mean that Scripture is the only authority. And you say, well, wait, it is the only authority. And I say, yes, I understand that. But you have to add a little bit more to it. You have to say it means that Scripture is the only supreme and infallible authority. Well, and we'll say why that is. Do pastors have authority? Yes. See, there's authority there. So just using that word by itself, right? Elders have authority, church courts have authority, confessions have a subordinate authority of certain kinds. But all of them are judged by Scripture. So Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to the word, it is because there is no light in them. And the confession in 1:10 says, the supreme judge, supreme, by which all controversies of religion are to be determined, can no other be but the Holy Spirit speaking in the Scripture. So Scripture alone is the final rule. It is the infallible authority, the ultimate authority. When you deal with sola versus solo, there are certain ideas that get popped up. Scripture is supreme, but we have to finish the statement and say, and I'm not, which is important because everybody on this side thinks, well, it's just me and my Bible. That's all we need. Why? Well, because the Apostle Paul says, I have the Holy Spirit, I need no one teach me. That's what it says, right? So it's just me and my Bible, and we're good. Private judgment effectively becomes final. Private judgment. Christ's teachers are minimized. Historic orthodoxy is easily ignored. Confessions are treated as unnecessary because all I need is this. Personal interpretation becomes self-validating. I love this one. The Spirit told me. I've talked to a million of these people face to face. And whenever they say this, I say, but the Spirit told me you're wrong. So now what? What do we do? Nothing to do. What are you going to say? Well, no. Spirit told me. Spirit just told me again. You're wrong. Just told me. That doesn't work. When you deal with sola scriptura, Scripture is final. The Spirit illumines, so it has to do with spirit illumination. Does he illuminate people differently?
Degrees.
Okay. Degrees. Explain. What does that mean?
I mean, they're different in direction, but not in essence. Like, does that make sense?
When you say illumination, what are you talking about?
That's part of the question. So what do we mean by illumination?
People are illuminated to different things.
Okay.
For example, some have faith that they can eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. So some people's consciences restrict their liberty.
Okay. Broadly, in dealing with it that way, yes. How about more restrictively when we say, how about if we say this? Illumination and regeneration. Same?
Yeah.
Everybody has the same? Okay.
You would hope.
You would hope, yes. The church confesses the truth. Historic orthodoxy matters. Private interpretation is tested. This is under this one. Every human authority remains subordinate to Scripture. Sola Scriptura submits everything to Scripture. Solo Scriptura too easily submits everything to me. If you believe... I would say this all the time. If you believe what you like in the Bible, throw away what you don't like. It's not the Bible you believe, but yourself. So the danger is not merely rejecting Scripture openly. A person can profess sola scriptura while quietly being the judge of Scripture, depending upon what they like or don't. Well, because I accept what I agree with.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I'm going to deal with. I don't agree with that. I don't accept that. It doesn't matter how airtight a particular argument is. When somebody is in this zone, it's just all a relative zone.
They're over the text and not under it.
Totally. I dismiss what troubles me. I reinterpret what contradicts my assumptions. I ignore what challenges my tradition or preference. This is the way that we've always done it. My grandfather sat in this pew. My dad sat in this pew. I sit in this pew. This is what we all thought, and this is what we're all going to think. Scripture is no longer judging me. I'm judging it. Illumination does not mean... new revelation. Doesn't mean that. God has already spoken. What he does is he turns the light bulb on so that they can see. It's off and dead. It's on. There's no new scriptures. There's no new revelations. There's no infallible private interpretation. There's no private idea or private message or private feeling overrides the scripture. None of those things. Illumination means the Spirit enables believers to rightly apprehend, receive, love, and submit to the truth already revealed in scripture. Right? Jude 3. The Spirit illuminates the word that he's already inspired in that particular place. You have to think through even inspiration in that particular way. He carries along the writers to get the inspired scripture. The scripture is the thing that's inspired. Illumination does not make every Christian an equal interpreter, because regeneration does not erase differences. So, degree, knowledge, maturity. That's a big one. People don't even think about that, relatively speaking. So a person's a Christian for a certain number of years and may have learned certain particular things where another Christian has not done that yet. And they've learned things based on having the light bulb turned on and whatever the degree or gaining of knowledge to that particular aspect of maturity gives them the ability to help others. In dealing with that, you have different gifts. You have different training. When I say different training, what do I mean by that?
Your pastors and teachers.
Those are different. No? Training is different. Yeah.
What the Spirit leads you in?
Yeah, there's a certain amount of information that the pastor or the deacon has to have, i.e. know, use, exercise. That doesn't mean that Christians don't need that, because there's nothing in the pastoral call of 1 Timothy 3 or Titus 1 or anything like that, or even in the Old Testament, where can you name something that the pastor has to have that Christians do not need? Well, they're skilled in Greek. Okay, so yes, maybe they are, but does that mean that a Christian could be better if they're skilled in Greek too?
Yeah.
So what is it that happens with that? It's in this area that the work of the Spirit separates particular people in order to have particular gifts. Some people can speak really well. Some people can't. Some people can be eh. Paul may have been eh in his preaching. Maybe. We don't know that. Maybe we kind of do. There's little hints there. You know, he's like, I'm not like the super apostles. So maybe the super apostles were like awesome speakers. Just people have different degrees of those things. Or exegetical ability or experience. Well, I've never gone through such and such, so it's going to be hard to help a particular person if they've never gone through such and such, a Christian helping a Christian.
Those super apostles could have been Joel Osteen's.
Yeah, they could have been. People like that.
You know, just...
There also is a particular responsibility. We could even put responsibility. A particular responsibility that ministers have that way. Like with Peter said, there are many things in Paul's writing that are difficult to understand. You can't get them wrong. Why can't you get them wrong? Because Peter said specifically, they twist the scriptures to their own destruction. So it's not like they get a slap on the wrist. You can't get those things wrong. And Paul is difficult to understand. There's a lot of things to consider there. Everybody thinks that as soon as they go, they're over here. It's just me and my Bible. There's no problem. I can open it up. Spirit will tell me. And I'll be satisfied with it. Christ gave teachers to his church. Why did he do that? If this person is right, if the solo person is right, why are there teachers? That's dumb. That's completely illogical. Which is why you have people like the Quakers. Why do you have the Quakers? What do they do? Anybody know?
Synagogue or wooden box.
Yeah. They all get together. There's nobody that's in charge. The Spirit is in charge.
No, that's, you know, not far from today.
Put the wooden box in the middle. Whoever felt led got up on the wooden box, and they knew the Spirit was coming when they started quaking.
Really?
Yeah, really? Yeah.
I knew they were loopy, right?
Yeah, loopy to a great degree. If me and my Bible were God's complete method for understanding Scripture, why did Christ give teachers to the church? Teachers do not replace Scripture. Teachers minister Scripture because the church is a teaching community. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall also be able to teach others. All of that would be of nonsense if this was right. The biblical pattern is revelation comes, they get taught it, they receive it, they persevere in it, they teach others in it. And Christian doctrine is never reinvented in any generation. This is a bad word for us today. New. If people come up with new stuff, that's bad. That God is not a disinterested father, a terrible father, over the last 10,000 years, that he hasn't provided everything for life and godliness, which the apostle says that he has done that, and left the entire church to itself so that they could come up with whatever they
agree with, whatever they like in private judgment, because they have their Bible and they can just choose what's good and what's not, or come up with something completely new, which is why you have all of the hoopla that happens in the, I have the Spirit, you can't tell me, no one can tell me, if I have the Spirit, no one can tell me anything. Yeah. When I was in Southeastern Bible College, one of the things that we had come were people like Rodney Howard Brown, who started the new thing of laughing and roaring in the Spirit. That was new. None of the teachers could say anything to him. And I remember Dr. Newman was like, tweet. Because he knew, logically, he can't say anything. And he wanted to say, you're out of your mind. It's one thing if someone goes, oh, well, I don't believe that Jesus is God. Okay, the Bible says that. But the moment that you get into this area of the Spirit's going to lead me in whatever way the Spirit leads me, and I can laugh in the Spirit if I want, you can't tell me I can't. What then is biblical traditionalism? It does not mean that tradition equals revelation of God's word. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that tradition plus scripture are the two infallible authorities. Who says that?
Roman.
The Papists do. The Holy Spirit's been teaching Christ's church for centuries. We're the newcomers to the game, but not under new things. He's teaching the same thing to everyone. Christians should listen carefully to the accumulated biblical wisdom of faithful teachers. Which means, okay, I talk to this person, the solo person, and I say to the solo person, tell me about Jesus. And they say, wow, my Jesus. Oh, wait. I want you to do it without confessing. What do you mean? Well, I want you to do it without confessing anything. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me. How can I tell you about my Jesus if I don't tell you something about my Jesus? I say, well, you're proving my point. Now the question is there somebody smarter than you? Let's just say, for argument's sake. You got someone smarter than you? Can they say something about Jesus that is true? Could they write it down so that they have it in their pocket? And then when you ask them, they pull it out and they could read it and it would be a great statement about who Jesus is. They could. That's the idea of what confessions are. Now what happens is that these people will slide into, I'm kind of okay with the Apostles' Creed, so to speak, you know. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. Simple. Basic things. Creator, Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was born, He died, risen from the dead. You know, it's basic, so they're okay with that. Pushed them a little further. Hey, let's read the Belgic Confession together. No, I don't like that. Why? Because it's very specific. It talks about a lot of things that generally the natural man hates. So they don't want to read that. Push them a little further. Irish Articles. Push them a little further. The Westminster Standards. What happens is that they confuse the idea of tradition plus scripture is infallible, Roman Catholicism, with what God has done in giving His church certain things throughout the years so that we don't have to keep reinventing the wheel. Now, could a Peter Van Maastricht or a Turretin get into the scripture so incredibly excellent and not quote a person at all and come up with an amazing book about systematic theology, or what they could, but nobody does that. There isn't anybody. Turretin doesn't do it. Turretin has literally thousands of footnotes in history volumes. Francis Roberts, in his Marrow, when you get to page 2000 of this singular book, you're already into 10,000 footnotes, thousands of them, because nobody is an island to themselves. But all of those things, tradition, confessions, councils, they're all subordinate to scripture.
Yet, there's a particular balance. The scripture gives us sufficiency. It's clear, but it has to be interpreted correctly. 1.9. And yet, we still then say, it is supreme. 1.10 in the confession. William Whitaker, and nobody reads this, Disputations on Holy Scripture. Anybody has a question about the Bible, that's what you go read. You don't read anything else. Just go read William Whitaker. The Disputations was, it's about that fat. Yeah, it's like 2 inches fat, and it's really long. But it's fabulous. Because what he does, he takes all of this stuff, including what people do, what people believe, how the papists believe, especially at the time when the Apocrypha was coming in. How do we deal with that? The Counter-Reformation, how do we deal with that? And he wrote a book called The Disputation of Holy Scripture, which is absolutely fabulous, and everybody should read it at some point. He says, "For we also say that the church is the interpreter of Scripture, and that the gift of interpretation resides only in the church." We say that. Whitaker says that. All the Roman Catholics, they can't say that by themselves. We're saying that. "But we deny that it pertains to particular persons or is tied to any particular see or succession of men." Right. So Whitaker's point is not that the institutional church stands over Scripture, is that Christ has entrusted his word to his church, within which he gives gifts for its interpretation and teaching. The church interprets Scripture. That's why you have Augustine saying it and Chrysostom saying it and others saying that if God is your father, the church is your mother. And if it's not, you're up the creek. Scripture judges the church's intent in that particular way and interpretation. Tradition is a witness, not a master. Scripture's the supreme rule. Orthodox tradition is a witness, and private interpretation must be examined. It has to go in that zone, because tradition can say this is how faithful Christians have understood the doctrine. Tradition cannot finally say this is true because we said so. That's why you'll find all of the early good writers, they all say the same thing. They'll all be like, well, this is what everybody says. Well, there's a little interpretive difficulty with this particular verse, but regardless of whether you go this way, whether you go that way, you still come to the same conclusion. It's still going to round itself out. Like case in point, of all of the textual deviations in all of the Greek manuscripts, there are about 500 of them. If you take all of the manuscripts and you put them all together for the New Testament in Greek and you check everything, one will say he, one will say it, or things like that. When you get down to it, really there's only roughly 50 of them that are worth it, their salt. And of the 50, none of them change any major doctrine at all. There are little nuances. Maybe somebody changed this particular word later. We're not sure. But it doesn't change any doctrine. It doesn't change that Jesus isn't God. It doesn't change Trinitarian theology. It doesn't change what Jesus said versus what Paul said. None of that. Tradition. The danger of chronological arrogance. Suppose your interpretation contradicts the ancient church. Suppose it contradicts the Reformation. Suppose it contradicts the Westminster Confession, or generations of Reformed theologians, or even the elders in your church. What do you do? Right? Could they all be wrong? Could they all be wrong?
No.
What?
If you're going to that.
Could they all be wrong?
No.
Well, see, but this is part of the point. Maybe.
Yeah. Depends on where you're going.
Depends on where you're going. However, but the proper response is not, the Spirit showed me. The proper response is, I had better check my work. Like the little John Owen on the boat with the books on the island. Do you remember that one? Did I give you that one? He comes and he has his Bible, and he's a great theologian, and he comes to a certain conclusion on a scripture, and he's shipwrecked, and the boxes come, and he gets a book, and he's like, this is the book I needed. This is what I was studying. And he looks, and he messed up something. Mm-hmm. Well, he felt the whole time he was right. The Spirit showed me that I'm settled on it. And maybe he could go for years with that and be completely wrong about it. Historic consensus is not infallible, but disagreement with centuries of careful biblical interpretation should produce humility, examination, caution, reconsideration, and deeper study. And that particular person may not be the person to make that study. How biblical traditionalism actually works: you read scripture, you pray for spirit illumination, you study the text carefully, you compare scripture with scripture, you hear Christ's appointed teachers, you consult the church's confessions and historic witnesses, and you test everything against scripture and hold fast to that which is good. That could take a long time depending upon what it is that you're studying, which is one of the reasons why you have committees and such take a long time to deal with things. Now, there's a certain slowness of it because maybe people are not so skillful, and yet it takes them a little longer to deal with things, but at least in certain ways that they're dealing with things. You really have three competing models: Roman traditionalism, which is the church is over scripture. You have solo scriptura, which is me and my Bible. And then you have the Reformed sola scriptura, that scripture is over all and that we're all submitted to it. But this is just a basic idea concerning it, because a lot of this, obviously there's a lot of Roman Catholicism today, but those people, for the most part, don't want to talk about anything. They're not going to have this conversation. This guy, he will have this conversation. He'll talk a little bit about it. This is what I believe. And generally, it will end with, well, let us agree to disagree.
Yeah.
That's where it goes.
They'll disagree with their own pope.
They will.
Because they're so little scripture.
Sure.
Without even over on that side of things. So.
Yes, they will. So, something to consider.